Awesome. I wonder who actually screenshotted these. Are they like the funniest screenshot? When it stops, you can just, the funniest faces. Awesome. So we're moving on to Jack-Jack. And I'm just wondering if anyone can tell me what powers did Bob have, the dad. What powers does Bob have? I'm not going to come down, just shout it out. What powers does Bob have? Strength. Bob has strength. And then the mum has... She's very stretchy, and then you've got Violet, who it does, she's invisibility, and I think she can, like, force field as well. And then you've got Dash, who is what? Who's super fast. And now we've come to Jack-Jack. And Jack-Jack doesn't really know that he has powers. He's a baby. He gets angry. He sees a raccoon. I think it's a raccoon, isn't it? Yeah, okay, it's a raccoon. And suddenly he realizes he has powers. And I wonder, when Jesus was a baby, we don't know much about Jesus' childhood, but we do know the key parts of Jesus' adult life, but not much about his childhood. So we sort of had to imagine what he might have been like as a child. I wonder if it was a bit like Jack-Jack, that he would just be able to do certain things that he couldn't explain. So for example, he could just maybe walk through walls, as Jesus did when he was an adult. Or maybe he was playing with his food and suddenly it would just multiply and it'd be an absolute nightmare. Or he'd be trying, or Mary and Joseph would be trying to bath him, but they would be actually able to put him in the water because he would just float on top. And it could just, we just don't know what could happen. He could have just like see people that were ill and maybe he touched them too, because he just like, oh, you're ill. And he touched them and suddenly you could see change in the person that was ill. And I wonder if Bob, oh no, not Bob. I wonder if Joseph was a bit like Bob, that when he sees this, okay, he sees that this baby Jesus has little bits of power, and he goes to Jesus, you have power! Finally, this crazy thing that's happened to me and Mary, my wife, with this promised child, Jesus, is actually confirmation, okay, that this promised child is the promised Messiah, is God in flesh. And I love that we have heroes in our lives. I love how we can connect to them, whether they're make-believe like Marvel or DC, or whether they're like heroes in our lives. I love that we can have them, and we sort of connect with them. There's something about them that we recognize in ourselves, and we say, do you know what? I really connect to that superhero. I'm not going to say who my favorite. I didn't really have a favorite superhero. I've only just got into Marvel. I know that's really bad. I blame Phil's got me into Marvel because he's made me go to the cinema. So I don't really have a favorite superhero. But I love how we can have like heroes in our lives and we can connect to them. And it's become rather cliche now. And it's become rather like cringy when actually we put the phrase that Jesus is a superhero. There's a kid's song that goes, Jesus, you're my superhero. And adults hate it because they go, oh no, Jesus is not a superhero. But kids love it. And I think that's really sad because actually, when you think about it, he is a hero. Just as a made-up hero has a mission, so did Jesus. Just as a made-up hero saves the world, so did Jesus. Just as a made-up hero saves civilization, so did Jesus. And just as a made-up hero becomes people's hero and savior, so does Jesus. But there's one mighty difference. Jesus is actually real. And I'm really sorry, the guys, if you like love superheroes that make believe, but they're not real. And I love how we can use so many things in this world to draw parallels to explain the gospel. And I love that we're using the incredible movies to explain the true meaning of Christmas. I bet if you're your first time in church, or even if you've been in church for many years, you wouldn't think you'd be going to a Christmas carol service based on the incredible movies. But here we are doing it. And it's amazing. And in this clip, we see that Jack-Jack finally reveals his powers. And we see that he has powerful powers. And if you know the movies, he's the most powerful one of them all. And, you know, he uses his powers to defeat a raccoon. And I'm sure he would grow up to use his powers, if there's an Incredibles 3, to save the world and use them greatly. But Jack-Jack, as young as he is the least likely person to have the powers. And it's the same with Jesus. Who would have thought that Jesus would grow up to have the most powerful powers? Someone that is born of a young woman in a smelly stable with smelly animals. I don't know, like sometimes we can glamorize it with these like little things. But actually, stables stink. Okay, animals stink. And it's not very glamorous, is it? But yet, little baby Jesus is here, born in this stable, and he grows up to have the most powerful powers. And he also actually grows up to have the power to save the world, to save the greatest need that we all have, which is to put together, like, to bring us back to the God that created us. Jack has superpowers such as multiplying, walking through windows, laser shooting out of eyes, and turning into things into fire. And as I said, he'll probably will grow up to use them in great ways rather than just defeating a raccoon. And as cool as this is, it's got nothing that compares to the powers that Jesus ends up having. And as we said at the beginning, he may have demonstrated them when he was a kid, but we don't really know. But we do know in his adult life the powers that he did have. And one of those powers is that Jesus would grow up to heal people. Okay? He would end up clearing skin diseases, making the blind see. People that couldn't walk would suddenly walk. And even at the last point where he's about to be taken to the cross, or he's about to just be arrested, one of his friends chops one of the soldiers' ears off, and Jesus has the power to just pick up the ear and just put it back onto the side of his head, and voila. Okay? That's the sort of power that he has. He would grow up, and this is an amazing thing for Christmas, okay? He would have the power to multiply food and turn water into wine. Now, how much easier would that be if you had that power? Just cook one roast potato, one bit of chicken, one Brussels sprout, one carrot, and you could just multiply it. And it's easy. And he has that power too. Okay, Jesus would grow up to have power over nature. Okay, he would grow up to calm storms. He would be able to walk on water. And this is amazing. This is quite mind-boggling if you probably see it, like, from, you know, if he was there. It'd be quite crazy to see. But he would also grow up to have power that trumps all other powers. Jesus would grow up with power to restore our relationship with the God that created us. Romans 5:23, which is a book in the New Testament, which is the second half of the Bible, it says, "For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard." And this is humanity's biggest problem, that we all fall short of God's glorious standard. Forget pollution and global warming, though, as I think the leaders of this world should really, like, pay attention to it. Forget that. Forget plastic pollution. Forget veganism and if we should eat meat or not. This is the world's biggest problem, and that is that we are separated from the God that has created us. Our sin and our mistakes and our screw-ups causes us to fall short of what God demands from us. And as much as this sounds a bit of a nightmare situation, this is where Jesus' greatest power comes into play. Because one chapter on, exactly, it's actually Romans 6:23, says, "For the wages of sin," so the wages of the bad stuff that we do, "is death." Ooh, ouch. Okay, the wages of what we do wrong is death. "But the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." Jesus' greatest demonstrated power ever was he was able to voluntarily walk to his death, voluntarily sacrifice himself on our behalf, die on the cross, be buried, and 3 days later rise from the dead in his own power. Okay? Can I get a Pentecostal? Woo! Thank you. All right. No other person has been able to raise themselves from the dead. Okay. And if anyone can do that, maybe we should pay attention to them. All right. And you can let me know if you know someone that's died and raised himself to life again, and I will listen to them. Okay. And that is the greatest gift. Through that death, we have the free gift of eternal life. Adults, youth and kids, I'm sure you're going to have great presents this year. Okay, presents that have been lovingly thought about, presents that have been brought with excitement because they want to see your face when you see it for the first time. I'll give you an exclusive, but please don't put this on Facebook. I'm super excited because we're getting my mum this year, okay? I'm super excited. Please don't put that on Facebook because she doesn't know till the 27th of December, but I'm so excited about this present for her, especially because I didn't have to pay for it. And the presents have been picked out because they love you. And these presents have probably been picked and ordered and delivered by Amazon Prime. Give me an hallelujah for Amazon Prime. Thank you. Okay. I actually don't feel very Christmassy because Amazon Prime's too easy. Okay. So all these presents you're going to get this year. But I urge you, whether you are a Christian, whether you are not, Take a step back this year. Pause and wonder what this fuss is about. If you're not a Christian, then just pause and wonder about this free gift that God has offered us because of the sacrifice of Jesus. And if you're a Christian, I urge you again, don't just presume because you've been doing it years after years and this is your however Christmas carol that you just know this. Take a step back and really think about the true meaning of Christmas. To think about the baby boy born of a young woman in a stinky stable who would grow up to have a job as a carpenter, who would then go on to spend the last 3 years of his 33 years on this world telling everyone around him about the free present of eternal life. That he gave, that he did it for us. He earned it for us. All because he loved you. So, you're going to get presents this year, but I promise you, the greatest present that you will ever receive, and anyone that is a Christian has experienced God's love will testify to this, is the greatest gift that you could ever have. Okay? So, that is Jack, Jack and Jesus and the comparisons. And I'm going to hand over to Nicole.